And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Good morning and welcome to the House of Wellness. It is so lovely to be with you again on this Sunday morning. I'm Jo Stanley. As always, I'm joined by medical herbalist and pharmacist Gerald Quigley.
Jo, good morning.
Lovely to see you across from me, as always.
And we have Sally.
There's lovely Sally Opermeter. Hi there, Sal.
Hi, guys. Happy Sunday.
Thank you.
So great. I'm really excited about our first topic of conversation this morning because I really feel like it's bringing hope to so many parents and grandparents. We're going to be talking about a new clinical breakthrough for children suffering from peanut allergies. What a groundbreaking thing.
Wow.
So your kids are small. What restrictions do you have on supplying peanut related products?
So obviously no nut products at school, that goes without saying. But where I think it really gets interesting is with play dates, obviously, and birthday parties. Annabelle, my eldest, had a friend who had a nut allergy. And that was kind of my first experience at having somebody in the house who has a nut allergy. Mm-hmm. And just the extra level of, I guess, thought, care, anxiety, stress, like this. And this was for one play date. So for parents living with this, oh, my gosh, this new study is huge.
Yeah, there's a constant vigilance that you need to have, that you can never relax. And when you're sending your child off to a play date, knowing that there is an allergy that is life-threatening, I can't imagine how hard that must be.
Can't imagine.
Very difficult.
So, yes, it's very exciting. And we're going to be speaking with Professor Mimi Tang, who is the group leader of Allergy Immunology Research at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute, who has headed up this new trial that has seen many of the kids involved with peanut allergies go into remission. It's amazing. Just like that, they can now eat peanuts. It's so extraordinary, and it really is bringing hope to parents and grandparents and carers of kids with peanut allergies. Also tomorrow, of course, is Valentine's Day. Gerald, are you gearing up for some romance?
Oh, so much love in my house, Jo. It's just overwhelming. Overwhelming. In fact, I was thinking just before, as you and I were enjoying a coffee, I don't know how we coped back in our younger married days when Valentine's Days didn't exist. How did we cope?
Well, I don't know. I don't celebrate it with my husband because I really can't be bothered.
No, I was going to say, I would have coped just fine. You're very romantic, though, GQ, which I really like.
Thank you, Sally.
Yes.
Thank you. Well, look, I try. We're married 50 years in a couple of months.
Isn't that lovely?
Oh, wow.
And I think, you know, the basics never change. Mm. And if Valentine's Day is going to refocus, particularly the younger folk who maybe have only been married for a short time or together in a relationship, if that's going to refocus them on the basics of respect and considering other people and listening to another opinion, which I sometimes don't do, but all those things can make a difference.
Well, every day could be Valentine's Day from that regard.
Should be.
Well, we are going to be talking about how many are celebrating Valentine's Day, what it means for them, but also we're going to take a look at our relationships and maybe with some tips for keeping connected with our partner, because for many, COVID has brought an extra strain. All that time, time spent together.
Definitely.
It might not have been a positive thing.
Marcus still around, Sal?
Oh, my God, everywhere I go, he's in the same room. Every time I turn around, he's still there.
It's true. So psychologist Sandy Ray is going to be talking with us to share some, perhaps some advice as to how we can stay connected with our partners. The A to Z of vitamins is Microgenics Ubiquinol Active, powered by Ubiquinol. And as always, 131-873 is our number. We'd love to hear from you with any questions for your health, any advice that you might like. And do call if you are managing a nut allergy in your family? How has that been for you? We'd love to hear your perspective. 131 873. Next, we are going to learn about that new treatment and when it might be available to all. That's on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
What's clean, vegan and packed full of skin-loving ingredients? It's new Rimmel London Kind and free moisturising skin tint. It's free from nasties, formulated with aloe vera and antioxidant complex of vitamin E and B5, delivering 24-hour hydration. The lightweight formula evens skin tone and blurs imperfections and is suitable for sensitive skin. It's clean beauty that works, no compromises. Rimmel London Kind and free moisturising skin tint is $9.97 at Chemist Warehouse. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Go Healthy CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligram is only $39.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. Our number is 131 873. Give us a call with any questions for your health, or perhaps you have a perspective on nut allergies, because for any parent or grandparent, managing children with peanut allergies can be a minefield. It's something that is never far from their mind, whether it's at home or especially in that moment where you're heading off to a play date or perhaps a children's birthday party. Well, there has been a breakthrough for children suffering peanut allergies from the Murdoch Children's Research Institute's latest clinical trials. And joining us on the line is Group Leader of Allergy Immunology Research at the MCRI, Professor Mimi Tang. Good morning, Mimi.
Good morning.
It's so lovely to have you on the show. And this does seem very exciting. Is it true with your trials that majority of these kids with peanut allergies are into remission, actually eating peanuts now?
Yeah. So we finished the trial and we found that about half of the children who received treatment achieved this remission endpoint. And we said to them, you know, you can stop treatment and go ahead and start eating peanut. And when we followed them up 12 months later, the majority of them, like the vast majority, all but one actually, was eating peanut in their diet as they liked.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
I can't even imagine having had a peanut allergy and avoiding it your entire life and suddenly being told, please eat this. Like, this is huge. Mimi, what I want to know is, what about the ones that didn't go completely into remission? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so another 25% of children, although they didn't get into remission, were actually desensitized or protected against around a standard SIRS. So they actually passed a diagnostic food challenge at the end of the 18-month treatment period. However, their protection was more temporary, and you know, 8 weeks later, when we repeated that challenge test, they actually did react. So what we refer to them as having is desensitization. And what that means is that you're protected against this higher amount. And in their case, it was essentially a snack pack of peanut M&Ms. But in order to maintain their protection, they do need to stay on regular treatment. So those children did actually continue to be protected, but we told them to take an ongoing dose of peanut at home. Now, most of them were compliant with that intake, and, you know, we followed them up at 12 months as well. And what we found was that, both the remission kids and the desensitized kids do seem to have this higher level of protection. However, the remission outcomes seem to be really meaningful in terms of improving your quality of life. And so children in remission had this very substantial, significant improvement in quality of life. And it was greater improvement compared to the children who were only desensitized, and certainly also greater than the children who had remained allergic. So the reason we're excited about that finding, of course, is it's the first time in any trial setting where you've been able to compare directly the different clinical outcomes that can be achieved from a treatment. And the findings really validate the importance of us trying to get children into remission, because they do so much better. And right now, there are no remission treatments available for any of the food allergies. And so this, to me, you know, it's exciting because, one, we show it's possible, and two, we validate the importance of this outcome. So from a clinician and researcher's perspective, from my perspective, what it tells me is I have to keep working hard to bring a remission treatment to our patients, because I know that's what can really change their lives.
Mimi, there'll be people this morning listening across the country, grandparents and parents. Grandparents scratching their heads saying, how can someone in my family have a peanut sensitivity when there's been no, and when I was at school, you know, we'd never have this sort of thing. How does it start? What is the trigger? Where in the line of evolution in the last, say, 30 years has this increased sensitivity to nut protein? How's it arisen?
Yeah, that's such a great question, Jared. Thank you. Because it's gone up so quickly, the point that you make, we know that it can't be due to changes in our genes. So what's had to have happened is that there are changes in the environment or exposures that the growing infant and actually fetus, the mum's pregnant, exposures that they encounter that increase this likelihood of getting an allergy, a food allergy. What we think is happening is that during gestation, as well as in the first years of life, exposures in the modern world are playing a role, and particularly the change in the way we're exposed to good microbes. In the past, probably, you know, hundreds of years ago, I mean, we were exposed to a broad range of microbes, and many of these were actually good for us. Some of them weren't, right? Cholera. And so on. They're not good for us.
No.
Many of them were actually good for us. So what's happened over the course of, you know, industrialization and modernization is we sort of shrunk down all these bugs that we're exposed to. And it turns out that these bugs were important because the largest collection of immune cells in our body live in the gut area. And these immune cells in the gut tissues and gut-associated tissues play a really important role in achieving a healthy balance between tolerance and reacting to things. So what has happened over time is we found with the changes in our exposures, the gut microbes have changed. They're sort of shrinking down. They're not as diverse as they used to be. And as a result of that, the immune response, the tone, that the resting tone has pushed upwards. Wow. And now we're generally reacting to more and more things that are actually harmless. And the body is inappropriately saying to itself, ooh, we think this food antigen could be dangerous, and we're going to mount an immune response to it. Now, it happens that it is an allergy-type response, but what, you know, we are seeing rapidly increasing rates of autoimmune diseases and inflammatory diseases as well. So it's not just allergy problems that are going up over the last few decades. We're also seeing rapid increases in other conditions where the body is responding to things that don't hurt us.
Wow.
And the response is what's getting us into trouble.
That is so fascinating. Professor, can I just ask you very quickly, how long until this treatment may be available to families?
Yes, so it does require standard regulatory approvals. And this is super important because, you know, we know that this treatment helps patients. However, we are giving peanut to children who are allergic to peanut. So it is a treatment that needs to be carefully supervised and administered, and it will be treatment, a proper drug treatment. So it does have to go through the standard drug regulatory process. And what that involves is that we will need to conduct large trials. They're called phase three trials. And those trials are used to confirm efficacy and safety in wider populations. And then, you know, agencies like the TGA or in the US, the FDA will review that data and then approve it. So generally speaking, it I would take a guess that it's, you know, 5 to 7 years from today before this treatment will be available for patients. But, you know, I don't know, you know, if you threw enough money at it, maybe it comes a bit quicker.
It always comes down to that, doesn't it?
The only reason I say that is I was myself so surprised by how quickly the COVID vaccines were able to get through the regulatory processes and those large trials. So, you know, everything, it does sort of boil down to resources, unfortunately.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Professor Mimi Tang, and congratulations on that extraordinary trial. It's wonderful to be able to provide hope for families in this way.
It's huge. It's excellent.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mimi. You have a great day.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. And do give us a call, 131 873, with your questions or any experience you've had of nut allergies. We'll get to those next on the House of Wellness.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Go healthy. CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligram is only $39.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. I'm Jo Stanley. With me is Gerald Quigley and Sally Obermeter. And we are here thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Let's get to some calls. Good morning, Roz from Melbourne.
Oh, yes. Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Sure, yes. Roz. Yes.
Yeah, look, I was just listening to you on the radio and I just wanted to add that my son was part of, I don't know if it was one of the first programs with Professor Mini Tang, but he was a successful candidate.
Well done.
And he eats peanuts now. He was about, I think he was 10 when he started it. Mm-hmm. And it was about an 18-month program. You're very controlled by the children's hospital. The staff are fantastic. And then they did a review on him when he was 16, and he's now 21.
So at what stage, Roz, at what stage did he show a sensitivity to peanut protein?
Oh, as a child, because he was coming out in rashes, and it was only because we went to a paediatrician who did allergy testing.
Yes.
And he said to me, do you realise your child, he was about 18 months or two, is anaphylaxis to peanut?
Wow.
And I said, no. So we were actually very lucky that we did catch that. His rash was actually caused by eggs, which he grew out of, but he never grew out of the peanut. And I think there was one stage where he did have a little bit of peanut and he swelled up. But they do, as back then, I don't know what they're doing now, to be part of the program, you have to be anaphylactic to peanuts.
Wow.
And it was very controlled, where they slowly give you tiny bits of peanut pretty much until you react.
Roz, let me ask you really quickly. I want to know, as a parent, you've got this child who has this allergy, obviously, as we're saying at the beginning of the show, the anxiety and the fear that you have that something's going to happen. When he kind of got through this, what was the change for you as the mum?
To us, it was absolutely amazing because we used to go to Bali all the time for holidays and they put peanuts in everything, as you wear satays and ice creams and everything. So it changed our lives, I would have to say. And, even we keep up with him. I mean, he's 21 now. And he will go some weeks without anything. And I continually buy the Snickers bars and give it to him. And he would always say, Mum, have you brought my medicine at the
top? It's so great.
Roz, what you've done is reflect Mimi's quote. Someone said to her, why do you do what you do? And she's quoted as saying, I want my patients to be able to live like a child who doesn't have an allergy.
So wonderful. Mm. What miracle workers they are, these clever scientists.
Well done.
Yes, thanks so much for that perspective, Roz. Rosie from Eastwood, good morning.
Hi, Rosie.
Hello, good morning to all of you. Thanks for your lovely show.
Good.
Gerald, I've got a question for you. I've injured my hip, the muscles, some 3.5 years ago. Since then, over 13 doctors, chiros and physio. Finally, I think I've managed by myself to to fix the problem, but now I have to recover the muscles. Which one of the magnesium you recommend all the time is better, liquid or tablets?
Neither of those, Rosie. Yeah, look, the best option for you is either a powder or a capsule, because your tummy doesn't have to work as hard to digest it. So whatever is more convenient for you, I prefer powders because it gives you pretty well an instant absorption. It means you've got to mix it with water or some juice, but that's okay. But if you want the best option from magnesium to give you quality of life and to relax the tension in your hip, then go and get from the pharmacy or health food store, go and get some magnesium powder.
All the best there, Rosie. Monica in Ryde, good morning.
Hi, Monica.
Good morning, Dan. Good morning. I just want, can you give me something that I can sleep at night on natural? It doesn't help. It doesn't interfere with my medication.
Well, first of all, Monica, the first thing to do is not get anxious about not being able to sleep, because your body gets to the point where it worries before it goes to bed. And it's all a matter of routine. You've got to set up a routine, and that takes a little bit of time. And if you've got children, remember how that routine was there and you never varied from it. And it's the same with us as adults. Rosie just spoke about magnesium. It's a great tension reliever, and you can get from the pharmacy a combination of magnesium and gentle relaxing herbs that stop your busy mind and just help you get into the mood for sleeping. And they're very safe. They will not interact with any of your medications, and it's going to help you, along with a good routine, to get a good night's sleep.
I just want to add one thing, if I can, GQ, that I know also helps is no blue lights before bed. Like, you really need to give your body some time for the melatonin to sort of start to kick in and send yourself a message that, hey, it's a sleep time. So what that would mean, Monica, is no phone and no TV, kind of at least 30 minutes before bed.
Yes, very important.
That's part of the routine.
Sleep hygiene, as they talk about. Mm. All the best with that.
Thanks,
Monica. We always wish everybody the best of rest sleep. Absolutely. Do keep your calls coming, 131 873. We'll get to more of those a little later on. Plus next, we're talking Valentine's Day and how to stay connected with your partner with psychologist Sandy Ray. That's coming up next on the House of Wellness.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Go healthy. CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligram is only $39.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. Our number is 131 873. And do give us a call with any questions to support your health. And don't forget that Sally Obermeida is with us, and we've been speaking about allergies today. But I know, Sal, your passion is food as medicine.
Absolutely. I just love it. And there's so much that you can do. And look, food and supplements, these things go hand in hand, you know, like, and I absolutely love it. So, yeah, any questions, please let me know.
Yeah, 131-873 is the number. But first, with Valentine's Day tomorrow, we did think we would delve into the topic of relationships, because not only it's about what Valentine's Day might mean for you and your beloved, but what has COVID done for couples? We are spending more time together than ever before. And for many, absence can make the heart grow fonder. Would you say so?
Oh, yeah.
Has the strain in some instances been irreparable? So let's talk now with practicing psychologist Sandy Ray. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Joe and Sally.
All right. So tell us, what does Valentine's Day mean for us, or what should it mean? If we're in a relationship, should we be embracing Valentine's Day, do you think?
Look, it really depends on the relationship and what you want out of it, doesn't it? For some, it's an absolute celebration of love, an opportunity to spend quality time, strengthen the relationship, gratitude. That, you know, typically, I think that, you know, those sort of heightened romantic times of Valentine's Day happen in the early stages of a relationship. As it gets on and on, maybe just a cup of tea in bed is a good way of celebrating Valentine's Day. So it really just depends on what you see. Some people see it as highly commercial, and they're not going to accept the idea that we should embrace Valentine's Day. Other people are all across it, and it's a wonderful time for lovers to celebrate their romance.
What has COVID meant for couples? What do you think? I mean, I know we're joking about sort of, you know, the other person always being in your face, but what is it? What impact has it had?
Look, again, I think it depends on the length of the relationship. You know, when COVID first came out, there was the biggest increase of single bedroom units being queried. So a lot of relationships were breaking up, and my comment at the time was, don't make a call on your relationship in the early stages of COVID. But as time's gone on and that we're now quite used to COVID, I've changed my opinion. I think that a lot of idiosyncrasies have come out. I think a lot of stress and distress has come out. What we can tolerate or can't tolerate with our partners has become evident. So I think there's a huge impact. And of course, the opposite is that COVID has brought a lot of people together. They realise the empathy in their relationship, the care and trust that's been evidenced in the relationship under stressful times. So, you know, again, no one size fits all, but there's lots of dimensions in the relationship that I think COVID has explored.
I wonder whether snoring is an idiosyncrasy, Sandy, but still. I have friends that are retiring, and their wives are saying, this is just really quite difficult because it's an issue I think men need to address, that you've got to have outside activities and outside friendship groups so that you've got meaning instead of just, there's only a limit to how many times you can play golf in a day. So you've got to have structure. What advice, bearing in mind that we're trying to promote relationships and healthy relationships, where can we go with that?
Look, I think it's really important to, first of all, you've got to have agency over yourself and you've got to have personal boundaries. The idea that I'm in a relationship, I love you to death, I'm worried that I'm not spending enough time, I disagree with that as such. I think it's what's most important in a relationship is understanding your needs, because if you understand your needs, you're then going to be more responsive to the needs of another person. So the idea, certainly within COVID, that we're locking down 24/7 and we've got to be with each other so much, I think as time is easing, we've got to get back to a point where we understand, well, I need my time away from you because that's a good investment for our relationship. And that really requires you to be very explicit about your needs to understand self-care. So having some autonomy and agency in your relationship is probably first and foremost to have a meaningful and connected relationship.
Good. So, Sandy, I know that you are a couples counsellor by day. What if
not entirely, but I do couples counselling.
Sure. So, you know, if I'm in a relationship and I know that I do have an underlying love and care for my partner, but we're always in conflict, what can we do about that?
One of the biggest outcomes of some research about conflict, always in conflict, is there's a big word that starts with E. Why are people in conflict? And it's because they lack empathy. And when they lack empathy and why they're always in conflict, and I mean, I'm talking in a very global sense here, is that the couples are in competition with each other. They feel that they're fighting because they're competing with each other because neither one of them is actually empathic to the other one's needs. So we continue to get in this vicious cycle of conflict, competition, conflict, competition. You're not listening to me, you're not hearing me, you're not understanding my needs, et cetera, et cetera. So one of the first starting points of de-escalating conflict, of course, is listening. What actually are you on about? Why is this conflict continuing? And that gets back to empathy. And, of course, some people actually don't care to be empathic to their partner. If that's the case and it's been going on for some time, it might be time to really consider separating and going in separate pathways.
I'm just surprised that you've implied that husbands don't listen to their wives. Where's that come from?
How did you get... I thought I was more subtle than that.
Oh, no, I picked it up. Don't you worry.
Very perceptive there.
Sandy, what about for couples who it's actually sort of the other end? So they're not fighting. It's actually all just so ho-hum that there's just no spark. They're almost just like, there's nothing happening. How do you bring that spark back, that feeling?
Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? Because it depends on the length of the relationship. It depends. Look, you know what? Everyone sometimes, I have this sort of view that people sometimes enter relationships thinking they're going to be the band-aid for their life stories. The white and shining armour is going to come riding along and look after me and take care of me. It goes back to my comment just a moment ago. If you want a healthy, enjoyable relationship, invest in yourself. Are you the most boring partner to be with?
Do something about it if you are. Is that what you say?
Get off your bum and start becoming a little bit interesting.
That's so good.
You're just...
I love it.
You've asked that for a friend, have you, Sal?
Oh, it's great.
I love you guys, you know.
What I'm loving then, Sandy, is perhaps if normally you say, no, I'm not interested in Valentine's Day, maybe tomorrow might be the first in a long time that you actually do embrace it. If you have been a bit ho-hum, maybe it's time to actually go, I'm going to make a bit more effort tomorrow.
Correct. Because, you know, I might get something out of it if I make the effort.
Yeah, I love it. Sandy Ray, so great to have you on the House of Wellness.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much. Well, we'll have more of your calls next, 131-873. Plus, we're going to be talking about male fertility. That's on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
If you find that your creative energy comes alive at night, then this may be your signature scent. Bold and Bewitching Moonlight Bloom by Christina Aguilera. It's an opulent, long-lasting floral amber fragrance. It has top notes of black currant, heart notes of jasmine, and base notes of dark ambrette seed. This fragrance will leave a sensuous, long-lasting trail of magic in the moonlight. Christina Aguilera Moonlight Bloom is available at Chemist Warehouse for a great price. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Go healthy. CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligram is only $39.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
It's time for A to Z of Vitamins, Gerald. We have been deep diving into Ubiquinol. People are still hungry to learn what it can do.
This has nothing to do with Valentine's Day tomorrow, but I just want to briefly mention the positive effects on male fertility that Ubiquinol brings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So listen up, Sel.
Yep. Oh, why me?
There's been lots of... So we've talked Ubiquinol and energy production at mitochondrial level. Mm. The research that's happened behind the scenes with male fertility, so we're talking here sperm parameters, has been absolutely phenomenal. Things like density of sperm, motility, morphology, or the shape of the sperm. We've learned for a long time that conception can't occur without a bloke being involved, and even the men are starting to understand that now. And if you're going to go through conception, it's worth getting both parties as healthy as possible. And from a male perspective, Ubiquinol is certainly up there with the research showing the benefits.
Good to know. And so as always, I would agree with you, Gerald,
it is
important for the male side of the equation to get as healthy as possible.
Right.
It shouldn't always fall to the woman.
No, it shouldn't. And by default, that seems to have occurred over the years. But we're starting now to recognise that many of the issues that we see are in fact male-related sperm health issues, not the other way around.
Yeah, it's a two-party process. I think it is important that both parties are healthy and get checked. It's certainly not something that should fall just to one side or another.
And that means eating healthy for 6 months or 8 months or 12 months. So.
Yeah.
The Absolutely. Add a Z of Vitamins is brought to you by Microgenics Ubiquinol Active, powered by Ubiquinol. We have time for one or two more quick calls. Hi there, Andrew from Hurstville.
Hello, Andrew.
Good morning. How are you?
We're well. How can we help you?
Partners, 44, healthy lifestyle, but for the last probably 3 or 4 years, she gets to bed generally between 10 and 11, which is her normal slumber time, but we'll sleep for about 4 hours, nice and deep, and then she's wide awake at 1 o'clock and cannot get back to sleep till about five. And I've watched this constantly. Me, myself, I go to bed. I wake up at 7, it's like nothing's happened.
You're very blessed, Andrew.
Andrew.
I would recommend not telling her that on a daily basis.
I don't think that's the way we're going to Valentine's Day, Andrew.
Yeah.
But look, I think it's a couple of factors here. We can't have your wife interrupting your sleep, for heaven's sake. Hmm. So I mentioned before, Andrew, the relaxing that magnesium brings. Now, a lot of that break at 2 or 3 a.m. has to do with what's been happening the day before, because our brains are active and it's processing information. I mentioned also before sleep-inducing herbs. So go, as I mentioned, the combination of magnesium, sleep-inducing herbs, settle that busy mind, and if she does wake up, when she wakes up, tell her to head to pull the doona back, not over you, we don't want to disturb you. Pull her side of the doona's back, flip the pillow over so her bed cools down, her side cools down, go to the bathroom, have a drink of water, get back into bed, and hopefully she'll go back to sleep. Won't happen overnight, Andrew. That combination will take some weeks, but the habit is there. She's going to bed at the right time every night, and that habit will go. Have a bit of a snack. Turn off the screens, as we said, if she's been into Facebook just until just before she goes to bed. That is a contributing factor. You mentioned A lot of people, a lot of advertising about melatonin. It doesn't work in instances like your wife's, and she might have found that. It's good for restoring circadian rhythm in shift workers, but not for people like your wife, who's just obviously her brain is in overdrive at 3 o'clock.
Well, I'm going to say too, at 44, she might want to go and get her hormones checked because she may be perimenopausal, which can last for 5 years before you actually hit menopause. So for 5 years, you might be going, why am I not sleeping at night? And no one can tell you why, because I'm going to say that some doctors aren't alert to it, but you need to kind of just go and get that checked out, and maybe a little supplement will help, don't you think, Sal?
I absolutely think it will help, and that's absolutely so important. The other thing is sometimes people exercise late, and that can also have a bit of an effect. So that's also something you might want to put, if she's exercising, she might want to pull that back earlier in the day, not too late at night.
So thank you so much to all of our callers this morning. Of course, head to houseofwellness.com.au. If you were not able to get through to ask your question, go to the Ask tab, houseofwellness.com.au. Gerald is very diligent in answering those questions. We'll be back with more House of Wellness after this.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
CoQ10 is produced in the body to support heart health, but it declines as we age. Try Go Healthy's Go CoQ10 Ubiquinol from Chemist Warehouse. It boosts your body's supply of CoQ10 to help support cardiovascular health, immune function and energy levels. Plus, it's readily absorbed by your body. Go Healthy CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100mg is only $39.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label, follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Go Healthy CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100mg is only $39.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Well, Gerald and Sally, lovely fun show, and I wish you both a fabulous Valentine's Day tomorrow.
Yes, well, I'm looking forward to getting breakfast in bed. That'll be good.
Oh, will you?
Oh, I doubt it.
Gee whiz, you're lucky. As always, head to houseofwellness.com.au, and thanks to our friends at Chemist Warehouse. We will see you all again next week.